Hey fam, what's up? This is FaZe. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at FaZe380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/FaZe5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram, FaZe380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk about where we're going before we get lost? Let me your thoughts. Can't get what we do without knowing.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 26 and verse 23.
Oh, yeah?
A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man.
A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man. Brothers, if you wicked, God's going to put Jezebel in your life.
Bring it up.
Sisters, if you wicked, God is going to put that abusive, whoremongering, angry, domestic violence, no good Negro in your life.
Bring it up.
And you're going to say, God, why would you give me a man like this? Because you let him enter into your most sacred place without proving that he was gonna marry you. That's the problem with us in the black community. They all know that why everybody looking like this, everybody going like this. Like, shoot, I ain't gonna die here for this, man. I already know, but we gotta keep it real with you. If we don't keep it real with you, brothers and sisters, you're gonna leave here just like you leave every other educational thing you go to, still not knowing nothing.
That's right.
We're here to teach you the truth of God's word. God says you can bank on it. This is the book of
breaking news. Why did Poland just threaten the U.S. if the money don't go through for Ukraine? Polish foreign minister threatens nuclear weapons program if U.S. aid for Ukraine fails. Huh? If the supplemental bill doesn't go through and U.S. allies are disappointed and get the idea that the United States might not be able to help you, even when the commander-in-chief wants to help you, that will have profound consequences for all of the American alliances around the world. So it's not just us, it's all of the NATO powers. Some countries will start hedging and others will be considering developing their own nuclear weapon programs. Ciao. I would just like to say, we're not scared. I don't know what else to tell you. We're just not, just enough of the bark, because if y'all wanted to do some shit, y'all would have been did some shit. Put it that way. Stop all that motherfucking yapping. Because it ain't doing nothing. Like, sit down, have several. In addition to that, it looks like America and the UK are back up to their old tricks again, y'all. They are sending airstrikes targeting Sana'a. A joint statement by the UK and the US claims that the goal of this multinational effort is to defend ourselves. How you going into somebody else's shit defending yourself? It don't make sense. If you're defending yourself, why can't you defend yourself in the Red Sea? Which, by the way, that wouldn't even make sense now that I think about it, because you're still going into somebody else's shit. The Red Sea, the Yemeni said you cannot come in their waters. Y'all won't let nobody else in American waters. So make it make sense. Make it make sense before I start to get pissed the fuck off. Make it make sense. Because y'all pissing me off. Anyways, our partners and allies in the region and restore freedom of navigation by destroying Yemeni force capabilities used to threaten U.S. and partner forces in the Red Sea and surrounding waterways. You can't force nobody to do something they don't want to do, child. They said they not moving, they ain't moving. So at this point, you just wasting them missiles that, I mean, this looks like it's a big thing, but it's clearly not, because the amount of people that y'all actually have been able to, with those things, has been, and from what the streets are saying, y'all out of money. So y'all being very scarce with each and every single last one of those outdated missiles. The Yemenis said, ho, you gonna have to come harder than that. Yikes. Imagine starting a fight and then losing the fight that you started to the people that you consider to be less than you or beneath you. We're watching it real time. Yikes. Also, did y'all know that there was a White House press meeting back in early February about mass evacuations for Americans? And this also was something that was being discussed back in October, just in case there's some nuclear war. So let me get this straight. Y'all didn't tell us about the bunkers, but now y'all realizing that who's going to actually do the work if you don't take some of us with you? And now you're like, well, shit, if I gotta take some of them, then I'm more likely to have to take all of them. Y'all gotta take us with us. With y'all, don't y'all? Because y'all too lazy. And too stupid. Y'all. Now y'all considering mass evacuations. And then called your ass getting on the screen talking about, well, of course we always had something in place. Shut the fuck. No, y'all didn't. Y'all didn't have nothing in place for us. The amount of bunkers that we've seen thus far ain't even big enough to fit us all in there. Y'all did not have nothing in place. Y'all had to come up with a plan B because we all got on the internet and started telling them where y'all bunkers was at. That's why y'all gotta take us with y'all. That's why. So, yeah, we're not dumb. We're not dumb. The power is still not in your hands. You need us just as much as we need you. Sucks to suck, doesn't it? Not looking too good for America right now, I'll tell you that.
Alright, let me put y'all on some game. Part 2. I got some things to show y'all about the state and the federal. Follow me. Because the state and the federal entities have all functioned under conditions of non-disclosure and semantic deceit, serving to promulgate fraud upon the organic states and the American people. They are all considered criminal syndicates. To the extent they have been aware of their status and have failed to correct their operations and representation. Here go the juice, y'all. You know I always got some juice for y'all. Check this out. All contracts in bold held by these organizations or assumed to be held by these organizations are what? Null and void for fraud. These contracts include, but are not limited to, contracts for sale, for labor, for trade, citizenship contracts, power of attorney, licenses, mortgages, registrations, and application agreements of all kinds. All signatures of the American state citizen. I'm gonna say that again. All signatures of the American state citizen acting under the influence of semantic deceit and non-disclosure are rescinded. If you don't know what rescinded is, get you a dictionary up and out and look it up. All right, let me put y'all on some game. Part 2. I got some things to show y'all about the state and the federal. Follow me. Because the state and the federal entities have all functioned under conditions of non-disclosure and semantic deceit, serving to promulgate fraud upon the organic states and the American people, they are all considered criminal syndicates. To the extent they have been aware of their status and have failed to correct their operations and representation. Here go the juice, y'all. You know I always got some juice for y'all. Check this out. All contracts in bold held by these organizations or assumed to be held by these organizations are what? Null and void for fraud. These contracts include, but are not limited to, contracts for sale, for labor, for trade, citizenship contracts, power of attorney, licenses, mortgages, registrations, and application agreements of all kinds. All signatures of the American state citizen, I'm going to say that again, all signatures of the American state citizen acting under the influence of semantic deceit and non-disclosure are rescinded. If you don't know what rescinded is, get you a dictionary up and out and look it up. But that ain't it, y'all. I got some more juice to go right along with that. Check this out. Got it highlighted for you. Hold on. We're going to go over here to shoot over here to this one. Check this out. Now, their contracts is all dead. You just have to exercise it. Get them off your back. But check this out, right? This is about the estate. All the states and e-states. See what that's all caps, right? Erroneously believed to represent the American state and the American state citizen, and which were conveyed by fraud and legal deceit to the United States of America minor, and more recently to the city state and the United Nations are revenue, y'all, without exception to the geographically defined American states and the American state citizen, where they shall remain perpetuity as assets belonging to the rightful and lawful beneficiaries. I'm going to say that again. Assets belonging to the rightful and lawful beneficiaries. Perpetuity. Forever. Is what that means. Now check this out. All legal fiction entities, however structured and named after the American states and the American state citizens, are returned to them in their control, free and clear of any debt, promises, encumbrances, or obligations alleged against them as a result of false claims made in their behalf by officers of the United States of America, Inc. This is law, folks, what I'm reading here. And the United States, Inc., all caps, pay attention, or by the foreign officials operating the United States of America minor, or the United Nations city state, falsely claiming to represent them and have jurisdiction over them. So what I'm telling you is, you have everything back. You got me? Yo, when it comes down to your estate is not just land and a house. Estate is everything you own behind your social, down to a number two pencil. Everything you bought with your credit cards, all of that. Everything has been revenue back to you. So my question to y'all is, they know this. Why come you don't? Right? And once again, this is out of the civil orders, July 4th, 2014. And once again, this one was issued to all members of the Domestic Police Force, U.S. Marshal Services, the Provost Marshals, members of the American Bar Association, and the American Armed Services. That's law. This came from Pope Francis, and this was given to Barack Obama in 2014. Question is, once again, why come you didn't know this?
We take that same chemical weapon that's an acute, toxic, flammable environmental hazard, and we ship it to compound pharmacies that put it in supplements and protein powders and energy drinks that you drink. Right? You ever heard of a Celsius energy drink? Celsius energy drink has 4 times the amount of daily cyanide that a human being is meant to ingest. 4 times. That's just one sample. So drink Monster or Bang. I mean, drink Bang, not Monster or Celsius, right? Bang has methylcobalamin. This has cyanocobalamin. So, and we wonder what, you know, we're putting these toxic chemicals. This is, you know, where we get the hydrogen cyanide? Don't make me take you to that website, because you'll just get up and leave. I wonder, do you know where we would get hydrogen cyanide? Because these facilities that actually compound this B12, they don't even pay for the hydrogen cyanide. Do you know where they get it? Human sewage treatment plants. It is the waste from a human sewage treatment plant. It's called sludge. It's foamy yellow sludge. They scrape it off the top, they dry it, turn it into a powder, ship it to a facility, synthesize it with a metal, and put it in your vitamins. They take metal, hydrogen cyanide, and put it in our supplements. So that's exactly. So when you get home tonight, I want you to take all of your supplements and protein powders, spin them around, look for that word cyanocobalamin, and if it has it, throw it in the trash. Right? And do that for your kids too.
In any place where you have a speaker, a singer, a performer, a movie, that's why they have these cineplexes going on now, not only to save money, but to get you corralled under one dome. And once you do that, you have a brain that has two lobes, five divisions. You have your left brain and your right brain. One is called logical, the other is called rational. Actually irrational, because the right brain is like a five-story building, a block square, and the left brain's like a Quonset hut. You've got the left brain controlling a five-story building with everything you can think of in it, and this is where we give most of our attention to the so-called logical brain. So once the logical brain, which supposedly differentiates and teaches you right from wrong, makes you use logic and governorship by logic, once the left brain is occupied, logically looking at singing, dancing, whatever it is, and getting your attention, the right brain can be easily accessed. When the right brain can be easily accessed, interesting things happen. The right brain believes anything that it hears in your tenor of voice, your modulation of voice, your volume of voice, everything about your vibration, anytime it hears it, it believes it. Under hypnosis, you deaden the left brain, the logical reasoning, conspiracy brain, and you open up the right brain. Drugs can do it, but a simple thing like using the spoken word can now do it too. Because in many of these places, they are wired for sound that you do not hear. They're wired to work on a frequency that the left brain doesn't pick up, but the right brain does. I have a workshop. That's the way I got through school so fast people couldn't understand. In fact, they accused me of cheating. I didn't have to cheat because the Creator had already cheated for me. I found out an easy way to access the right brain, which forgets nothing, and how to tag it, call it up when I need it. It's still doing it, but now it's doing it without your control. The key is to be able to control the genie, the jinn, the wonderful spiritual inside you that begs for freedom and gets locked up. Your right brain can do just about anything you imagine because it is your key to spirit, mind, and soul. Through the pineal gland and the king's chamber and the lower queen's chamber, which is nothing but the hypothalamus of the two biggest organs and glands in your body, that separates you from the beast and everything else, and they deaden it. So once you're occupied with the left brain, they can now send down a high frequency signal to your right brain. You won't even know it's been implanted, and you'll carry out every instruction that it gives you because your governor is off. Your modulator is gone. And then they tell you to forget that it was gone if you remember to forget. Huh? Not playing with you. Because they already are. I do it with love. They do it with malice, aforethought, and hate, and envy. Worse than that, they envy you. You don't even know why you're envying, but you are. Anything that speeds up six times over and becomes a blur is what your right brain hears. Anything below that is what your left brain, logical brain hears, and your right brain just goes to sleep and say, well, it's another foolish day. Another day I can sleep because people ain't ready. They're not operating on a vibration fast enough. Well, in spite and despite of you, the planet is now going to operate on a frequency that's fast enough. And if you don't catch up, you're going to die. You're going to die anyway. But you'll die faster if you can't keep in synchronous, in harmony, in vibrational, rational with the planet. Your planet is speeding up its vibrational rate. It's creating a magnetic field. Magnetism is for the spiritual people. It's for people with souls. It's what our planet used to have before the moon was put here, before all the Drakons came here and tried to make it part of their galaxy and tried to create humanoids, succeeded in one, failed in the other, but they're still trying. I just told you a lot right there. Don't know how many of you heard me, but I tried. At this time, there's a battle between the Draconic forces called snake people, alligator people, reptile people, whatever you want to call them, that are egg-born, have no souls. And the soul womb-borns who are just beginning to find out how you fought the battle and licked them before, but now they're licking you, and you know what they're licking you in. Because it's a time when you're going backwards instead of forwards. And as you try to awaken, they put more stress on you. Reverse mortgages, subprime loans, bills sending twice a month to you, taxes overtaxing, depleted uranium, shots, vaccines, here comes the next flu, here comes the next epidemic, here's something gonna fall on your head from space. Anything to keep you so stressed out that you cannot take time to meditate and to think, anything to make you think that material things are the only thing you have in life when you were born here to learn that the spiritual value is what you really must come back to.
Well, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has now presented a document to his security cabinet laying out his plan for Gaza once this war ends. It includes completely removing the UN agency UNRWA and replacing it with other aid agencies. The plan doesn't exclude the Palestinian Authority from governing the Strip in the future, but it does say that Israel will maintain, and I'm quoting here, freedom of action in the entire Strip without a time limit. It also says Gaza should be completely demilitarized, except for weapons that are necessary to maintain public order. Well, let's get more now from Hamda Salhut. She's in occupied East Jerusalem. Hamda, Netanyahu gave more details to the cabinet about his plan. Talk us through those.
Well, Nastasia, this is the first time the Israeli Prime Minister had put in black and white exactly what his thoughts or plans were for what he calls the day after the war on Gaza. Previously, he had only spoken about it in statements, and he had had these positions that were known, but they weren't really talked about or put on paper because he said it would get in the way of Israel's current ground invasion into Gaza. So this document goes through a series of things. The first one, let's talk about, is governance. While he doesn't exactly rule out the Palestinian Authority ruling the Gaza Strip, remember, the Americans want to see a revitalized Palestinian Authority, and it doesn't blatantly say that the PA cannot control Gaza once the war is over, but it's something the Israeli Prime Minister had reiterated in speeches and in other statements of his that that was his hardline position. The document also talks about reconstruction. However, he says that Arab states are going to foot the bill for the reconstruction, but only Arab states that Israel approves of, and that that reconstruction cannot commence until there is a total demilitarization of Gaza. Once that is over, he says there needs to be a new phase of what he calls de-radicalization, when these new leaders, whoever they may be, go into Gaza. And when he's talking about UNRWA, he is saying that the UN agency needs to be completely shut down. It is one of the only lifelines for millions of Palestinians in Gaza as they go throughout this war. But the main focal point of this was the Israeli Prime Minister talking about the military and Gaza once the war is over, that there's going to be a security zone, a military occupation, and that the Israeli forces are going to go into Gaza whenever they see fit to have what he calls a freedom of movement and freedom of action to conduct operations however they see fit in the future in Gaza once the war is over.
And Hamda, before I let you go, today we found out another Palestinian prisoner is dead in Israeli custody. What do we know about the circumstances?
Mm-hmm. The Israeli authority is not releasing a ton of information about the Palestinian man who died in Israeli detention. We're talking about a man from Gaza who was arrested once the ground offensive began, so after October the 7th, and that he died in an Israeli jail. He is now the 10th Palestinian to die in Israeli detention since the beginning of this war, and the Israeli authorities have a practice of withholding the bodies and the remains of Palestinians who have died while in Israeli prison. So not a lot of information about coming out about who this man was or specifically where in Gaza he was from, but we do know that he was arrested by the Israeli military in Gaza once the war began.
Hamda Salhut there with the latest for us from occupied East Jerusalem. Thanks, Hamda.
Israeli government has made it very clear once again that they're not interested in a ceasefire. They're not interested in releasing the hostages. They want to keep killing. Netanyahu's recent rejection of the Palestinian offer for ceasefire makes it clear once again that this is what they're doing. And of course, we know the killing is not only not stopping, but is increasing even as we speak. So here is what I believe the international community needs to do, and needs to do quickly, since it's obvious what the Israelis, who are the source of the violence and the source of the misery and the source of the killing, are not interested in stopping the killing. It's time to impose severe sanctions. It is time to demand a complete and unconditional release of Palestinian prisoners, the lifting of the siege on Gaza, allocating billions of dollars to rehabilitate Gaza and provide humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza, to take away all checkpoints and anything that hinders the freedom of movement of Palestinians in Palestine. And these demands need to be demanded, not asked. And until such time that the state of Israel is ready to accept these demands, there should be a complete and absolute end to all weapon sales to Israel. There should be an embargo on weapon sales. Not a single weapon, not a single type of ammunition should be sold to Israel, and anybody selling to Israel needs to be penalized. These are the kinds of conditions that needs to be imposed. There needs to be a blockade on Israel, and there needs to be a no-fly zone over Gaza so Israel can no longer bomb Gaza. These are the kinds of conditions that we need to demand of our officials, that we need to demand to be spoken about, so that we can finally end the murder and the suffering of Palestinians by Israel.
We were told that only white people were beautiful. Only straight hair, light eyes, light skin was beautiful. And so black women would try everything they could, straighten their hair, lighten their skin, to look as much like white women. And the black men would let it be known that they thought white women were beautiful. And they'd say they didn't want any ugly black woman with short hair. This whole thing. But this has changed because black people are aware now that their own appearance is beautiful. They're proud of it. And white people are aware of it too, because white people now want natural wigs. They want wigs like this. Dig it? Isn't it beautiful? All right.
You may not know this, but doctors are not taught about vaccines in medical school. We are not taught what's in vaccines as far as the adjuvants. We are not taught how vaccines are manufactured as far as what kind of animals go into them. We are not taught the potential dangers of vaccination, and we are basically given a piece of paper that says when the vaccines are due and to give them. And I found this to be very alarming, and even more so when I researched the history of smallpox and the history of polio, two diseases that I was continuously told were eradicated by vaccination. My research that I wrote in the book with Roman Bistrionic was completely counter to that. And in fact, populations who stopped vaccinating for smallpox, their smallpox diseases declined, and deaths from smallpox declined. And
we might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said, with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You got to make a decision. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
Can we just talk? just talk about where we're coming before we get lost. Let me our thoughts. Can't get where we go without knowing.
Charity in Israel. Like, I have been doing that for years. So, like, I love Israel. I love Jewish people, right? But here's what I find fascinating. I find it fascinating that Kyrie Irving can post a link to a video on Amazon. He gets all his contracts canceled, gets suspended for 5 days because in the video implies that black people in America are the original Hebrews. I'm not even going to go into a conversation about that today. I will one day, though. Trust me. Okay, but I'm not going to go into a conversation about that today. But people said because he posted that video link, that means he's anti-Semitic. So saying that black Hebrews are black is against Jewish people? So how's, like, why is that? First of all, the scripture says that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came out a mixed multitude. Go read the Bible. Right? Let's start there. Let's go read the Bible. I don't believe that all Jews are black, all Hebrews are black. I don't believe all Hebrews are white. And follow the table of nations. Go read Genesis chapter 11. You'll be blown away where everybody migrated to. It's mind blowing. Another conversation for a different day. Here's what's fascinating to me about that. We think that's anti-Semitic.
I ain't gonna let him slip on that one, y'all. Now, he was talking about everybody wasn't the same. He said back then, because the Most High made nations. So when everybody came, he made nations. And then he said he divided the nations. So we want to, he's saying some of the things that he's saying, y'all, I don't agree with, but most of the stuff he's saying with, I agree with. So some of the things he said in the Bible, I listened to this, I scratched my head about it, but the message that he's getting ready, he's saying, what he's saying is true about Kyrie and all this, and why are they getting mad at us saying that we're the true children of God, like I've been telling y'all all this time, and our forefathers put us in this captivity and all this other stuff. And while we was in captivity, we had some other people that said that the imposters is not for real, you know, went in there and went in there and took our land, and when they took our land, where were we? We were still under the slavery, Jim Crow, and all that other stuff. All our nations. So, you know, I don't know. Y'all just had to, when people start talking about the scriptures and trying to revert, because we got the Canaanites, Canaan, and all these other nations and stuff like that. So, you know, it was Hebrews and it was Egyptians, and they had different features and stuff like that. But the Most High people are special people. They are holy people. So the Most High separated his people from the other nations.
But black people in the United States of America who are tortured, raped, mutilated, and murdered for hundreds of years legally. And the infrastructure, a large part of the infrastructure of the United States was built on the backs of free labor of our ancestors, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. And somehow the homosexual movement can come and take the word discrimination and apply it to their philosophy and capitalize on the plight of my father and my grandfather and my grandfather's grandfather? Wait a minute. That's fascinating to me. And that's not denigrating to black people? I'm making a comparison. I'm asking a question. And I'm asking a question. That's fascinating to me. Because there was a time in the United States of America where you could kill a black person and not be prosecuted. Don't know that that was true about a homosexual. There was a time in America where it was not legal for a black person to go to school or go to college. That was not true for, how in the world have black people sat by silently and let them hijack a word that describes the plight of our ancestors to get us to where we are today, to be able to be able to even participate in the free enterprise system? I'm asking questions. I would really like some answers to that. Why is it that they're using the same tactics to perpetuate homosexuality and other sexual perversions that they use to perpetuate slavery in the United States of America, which is what? Censorship. Making it illegal to speak out against it. I want you to think about that. It was illegal to speak out against slavery. It didn't matter if you were black, white, or orange, purple, or pink. You couldn't speak out against slavery. During this time of slavery, you couldn't speak out against Jim Crow laws in the South after slavery without suffering the consequences. Why? Because evil always needs good voices to be silent in order for it to exist. Light can exist in the presence of darkness and be okay. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light and be okay. Charity in Israel. Like, I have been doing that for years. So, like, I love Israel. I love Jewish people, right? But here's what I find fascinating.
We're Zionists and not all of us are Jewish.
We're Zionists and we want our hostages back.
We're Zionists and we believe we have every right to our own land.
We're Zionists. We choose love over hate.
We're Zionists. We want peace, not war.
We're Zionists and we're gonna fucking win this. I'm Israel.
Showtime.
More than 300 soldiers with the Illinois National Guard are being deployed to the Middle East in support of Operation Spartan Shield. Staff Sergeant.
4 months of relentless attacks have forced more than half of Gaza's population to the southernmost end of the strip. More than 1.5 million people are now sheltering in Rafah. Palestinians are living in makeshift camps and overcrowded shelters. Resources are scarce. Rafah was until recently considered a safe zone. The government of Israel has announced an imminent full-scale assault on Rafah. More than 1.5 million people will be in the line of fire. Rafah is the end of the line. An attack on the last refuge in Gaza will be catastrophic. 4 months of relentless.
Let's watch this again.
If you take away the Soviet Union and its chief proxy, the PLO, international terrorism would collapse.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. Obviously, we like to see a regime change, at least I would, in Iran, just as I would like to see in Iraq.
Are there any other nations that you would recommend that the United States launch preemptive attacks upon at this point?
The answer is categorically yes, is Iraq and Iran. But a third nation, by the way, is Libya as well.
No matter on which side of the aisle you sit, you stand with Israel.
All those clowns applauding are some of the most unscrupulous, easily corrupted motherfuckers you've ever met in your life.
But we're paralyzed because Mr. Netanyahu and his supporters in the United States have purchased the Senate and the House and the White House. And they have powerful backers, billionaires, who have provided plenty of money for a long period of time to ensure that the United States will provide unconditional support to Israel. So what's going to happen here in the United States, I think, is there's going to be a groundswell of people, mostly younger people, that are going to step up. It may end up looking like 69, 70, 71 in the United States during the Vietnam War, where people say, no more. We will not be a party to this. But the people on the Hill are still very comfortable receiving their benefits from supporting Israel unconditionally. So anybody who says, what happens next? Look at that puzzle. Now, if we attack the Houthis have made it clear they will destroy the oil refineries and the oil drilling platforms all over Saudi Arabia and the Emirates. And people say, oh, well, that can't be done. No, it can be done. These are all very vulnerable installations. You don't even need to destroy all of them. If you destroy a portion, you're going to make a huge dent in the economic stability of the West and potentially China. And the Saudis are the ones now, even though they have been blood enemies of the Houthis, saying, please, please, don't push the Houthis. We don't want this. We want to get on with Iran. We want to get on with the rest of the world. And if you push the Houthis, it could destabilize us. Yeah, it could very definitely destabilize Saudi Arabia. We don't know which match is going to be lit and tossed into the, you know, the powder room where all the gunpowder is stored. But there are a lot of matches out there, and several of them have already been lighted. It's a question of which one is tossed into the gunpowder storage facility and blows everything up. I think it's coming. And it's going to be enormous when it happens. And again, the rest of the world, Europeans, they don't like the Muslim problem, if you will. They've got their own Muslims to deal with. But at the same time, they're not ready to go commit for Israel because they're not going to support what Israel wants to do in Gaza. On the American side, we're paralyzed. We're not leading. We have no strategy. We have no sense of limitation. Again, what are the limits on American power? We continue to pretend that there are none. But I think we've already demonstrated the limits of American power in Ukraine. And we're going to see these limits emerge even more starkly in the Middle East. So anything is possible, Glenn. But I think it will take a few more months for this to come together and coalesce in a way that becomes extremely dangerous. And I see no one trying to stop it. And then here we sit, and we remain Israel's only real friend. And we're sitting offshore, and we're prepared to help them. I mean, we've flown and shipped in enormous quantities of ammunition and weapons, technology the Israelis need. And we're saying, please, please, try not to kill civilians. And the numbers of civilians keep dying in greater and greater numbers. I mean, the increase is unending. So we want this to end, but we're paralyzed because Mr. Netanyahu and his supporters in the United States have purchased the Senate and the House and the White House. And they have powerful backers, billionaires, who have provided plenty of money for a long period of time to ensure that the United States will provide unconditional support to Israel. But
and Netanyahu is a madman. And I repeat that, to me, he's a madman. I met him years ago. I interviewed him when he was out of office. And I thought he was a madman then. And I think he's gotten worse and worse and worse. He's truly insane. I've never seen such a slaughter. Justifying it like this with as revenge. And how do you wipe out a political movement? It's never been done in the history of the world. I mean, how are you going to kill off everybody? What do you do? Separate them? Send them to Egypt? What? It's just mad. The whole solution. And what was sickening to me was when Biden went over there and hat in hand and money in hand to give him what he wanted. You know, this is the problem with our country. And in that regard, Trump, although he supported Israel to a max and made quite a few mistakes, in that regard, I think Trump has a better choices to make. We can't do this. We can't do that. We cannot constantly support Israel. We have to say no. Cut them off. Cut off everything to them right now. That's what I would do. And don't give me this anti-Semitic shit. I mean, I don't even know what they're fucking talking about. You know, who are the anti-Semites in the world? Just a few nutcases. You know, nobody's an anti-Semite unless they they have a problem with Hitler and all that. But this is an issue about justice and peace and balance and basic human decency. I don't understand how they can kill Palestinians like this. And now apparently they're killing, 20,000 was the last number. And Netanyahu,
powerful man in America, is, do you think it's President Biden? Do you think it's the war criminal, our Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken? No. The most powerful man in America, because of AIPAC and the pro-Israel lobby, is Benjamin Netanyahu, the disgraced Prime Minister of Israel. He has more control and more sway over the U.S. Congress than the President of the United States or any other elected official in the United States government. It's time we end AIPAC's domination and near total control of our legislative process.
This is our friend.
This is back east. There are very powerful people that want to keep you out.
They do.
But they're willing to put their money where their mouth is in a big way. So, this conversation never happened.
This is crazy, though. They should want me. I'm a great candidate. People love me. These people are corrupt.
Well, maybe you're right.
They are right. They are corrupt.
Maybe. This never happened. Don't go. Did you ever, though? I'll get myself in trouble. If you say no, that's just fine. It's your choice. Don't tell people. I know.
They're going to try to have me murdered.
I wouldn't doubt that either. Today's world, man. If that stuff that came out last week is right about the cartel stuff, man. They say the cartel's operating in 50 states right now. Like all 50. Mm-hmm. So.
So what's going on? Who is it? What?
Forget the who. Let me just tell you the what. Let's just say there are people calling around saying, gosh, no, they can't repeat this. Never repeat this. If you say no, don't. Because I got offered to buy out. Don't. Because then we lose our ability to get things done in the future.
Here's my problem. Rather than just say, let's work with her, she's a great candidate, because they don't own me, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's not about ownership.
It's about control.
I don't know if it's about control. It's about being on the team. I guess that's, you know what I mean?
They want to be on the team.
They want you to be on their team.
But
just team. You know?
But if they're pushing a globalist agenda, I can't do that. So what do they want? What do they want me to do?
They want you to stay out for 2 years. But I'll tell you what I can offer you. But I said you can do whatever you want. The talking head is. So the ask of me was, it's kind of funny. So the ask I got today from back east was, this is hesitant. Is there any companies out there or something that could just put her on the payroll and give her to keep her out? And I said, well, what are you willing to do? Like, whatever we need to do.
This is about defeating Trump. And I think that's a bad, bad thing for our country. DeSantis is not America first. This is about the final death blow to Trump. And I don't think that's good for our country.
I love Trump.
It's not good for our country, Jeff.
It's not, but at the same time, I'm not even sure Trump can win again. I don't know that he can win. I think what it really comes down to for a lot of people, it's not really about like control or agenda, it's just about the ability to raise money to win. You know? If you really want to know, all of politics boils down to money, I think. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even on their end, like, what makes them the most money?
I know. These consultants don't want their payday to end. And I don't want to make a deal with these kind of people. This is a hill worth dying on. They're going to steal the election to make me and our movement go away, I'm not letting them do that. I owe it to the people of Arizona.
Or.
To carry their torch and their voice.
Or. You don't go away. But you pause.
This is the battles right now, Jeff.
And refill your coffers.
No, the battle is right now. The battle is right now, and we don't have time to pause on this battlefield.
You're not. You can't scratch their back. It's not afraid of you.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to offer them. And they're sitting around people that have stuff to offer them. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a back scratching club. That's all DC is. It's a big back scratching club. You're in no position to scratch anybody's back, and you've already made it known that if you get there, you're not going to scratch anybody's back. I don't scratch people's back. You know, I've been on the outs with a lot of people for a long time because I don't scratch backs. Mm-hmm. You know? Where are we in 2 years if they steal the election again?
Listen to what you're saying. Why don't we do something about it? So that we, the people, can pick our...
What can we do?
I'm not willing to accept that. And I'm going to be the biggest pain in these people's... Go back and tell them that. Mm-hmm. I'm running, and I'm going to be the biggest pain in their...
And I'm willing to tell them that.
And they're going to have to kill me. To stop me.
I know. Look.
And you don't have to tell me.
Palestinians born. What was all this area before the First World War? When Britain got the mandate over Palestine, what was Palestine then? Palestine was then the area between the Mediterranean and the Iraqi border.
You say there's no such thing
as Palestine? East and West Bank, no. East and West Bank was Palestine. I'm a Palestinian. From 21 until 48, I carried a Palestinian passport. There was no such thing in this area as Jews and Arabs and Palestinians.
Every single child born into this world carries equal value. I'm Austin Baith. I'm state representative for Iowa, and that's what I was thinking today as I voted against the Republican resolution to affirm unwavering support for the state of Israel, in which the resolution says that the House supports Israel's right to pursue without interference or condemnation the elimination of Hamas until Hamas is permanently neutralized. What will it take to permanently neutralize Hamas? Are we as Iowans willing to stand by unwaveringly in support of Israel if it decides it needs to use its nuclear arsenal?
What do you mean by that?
I said on the McLaughlin group in response to a question, Jim, they said, do you think that the Congress of the United States will resist this demand for further aid? I said, threw out a crack at her. I said, no, the Congress of the United States is Israeli occupied territory. What I meant by that is the most powerful lobby in Washington, which Congress can't stand up to, one of the most powerful, is certainly the pro-Israeli lobby. It has gotten its way in this town year in and year out. And I don't... So the Congress of the United States for $3 and $4 billion worth of aid to Israel are necessarily in the national interest of the United States. And that comment, which is to ridicule the subservience of the Congress of the United States, is perfectly valid. I do not believe my government should subsidize Israeli socialism, which we have done, and I do not believe we should subsidize a policy on the West Bank of the Jordan River, which denies the Palestinian people rights which I support from Lithuania to Croatia. But if I also believe that Pat Buchanan is entitled to stand up and speak out against any kind of political lobby, whether it's the Greek lobby, aid for Greece, or whether it's the pro-Israeli lobby, aid for Israel, without being called vile names.
And you think that's what's happened to you?
Let me tell you something, Jim. When this little flap is 18 months old,
well, just
I made this crack. I know Buckley's talking about an 18-month-old column. Right, let's forget that. When this broke, I made that wiseacre crack about the Amen Corner. It was wiseacre, and it was very funny. You know what happened as a consequence of that? People called my newspapers that carried my column and said, drop Buchanan. AIPAC listed five conservative columnists who were accepted.
The
pro-Israeli lobby.
Pro-Israeli lobby.
I went out to speak in the country, and the little girl from the junior league said, I get these horrible calls from New York about you. There are individuals who are pro-Israeli, go around the country and speak in synagogues and say, call CNN and get Pat Buchanan taken off the air. Those kinds of tactics, in my judgment, are un-American. They are done in the name of the First Amendment, and they violate the spirit of the First Amendment. You know me. I've been in this town for 30 years. I am controversial. I am sometimes insensitive. I am tough, and I am hard. But I think that this type of thing is beyond the pale.
We are told all the time, where's the Palestinian Gandhi? Where are the nonviolent resistors? Well, you're murdering them systematically. They're dying because of you. You are bombing them. All the journalists that they're killing, targeting, who else can get away with this? Who else can do this with impunity? They're killing the truth. And that even came out, like, I think in a Politico article, it said we're Biden and his cohorts were scared that journalists were going to get in and show the complete devastation and ruin in Gaza during the truce, and that might shape American minds, Brian. That's what they're scared of. They're scared of Americans turning against this colonial genocidal project because they don't want us to see the truth. That's why they're systematically taking out the journalists. They want everyone to die. They don't want any semblance of civic society left. That's why they're taking out all the best and brightest in Gaza, all the staff of the hospitals, the surgeons. I just saw a video today of NICU babies that were left to die from Israeli soldiers that were invading the hospital. Who does that? Who, with any shred of humanity, can see babies laying helpless? And that is what's going on. That is what we are told.
The right to defend itself has now become cover for Israel has the right to commit genocide right in front of our eyes. How come we never hear the words Palestine has the right to defend itself? Not when a humanitarian flotilla bringing essential supplies to Gaza is met with a military assault and the murder by Israel of 9 unarmed activists. Not when Palestinians march in peaceful protest against illegal blockade and are met again with a military assault and the murder of 300 of them. Not after the countless bombings of Gaza by Israeli forces. Not even when Israel targeted and murdered 4 little Palestinian boys playing football on a beach. And not when Palestinians were dragged from their homes and forced to watch as those homes were destroyed to allow for new illegal Israeli settlements on lands that are clearly defined in international law as part of Palestine, and not after the countless offensive attacks by Israel against the people of Gaza or the West Bank, have we or any heard anybody in this house or any Western leader utter the words Palestine has the right to defend itself. And why not? And by the way, I'm not asking you to say those words, and in fact it's just as well you don't, because we all know that the people of Palestine can't defend themselves. Not against one of the most powerful military forces in the world that is backed up by even more powerful military forces. The truth is that the people of Palestine, just like the innocent people of Israel, don't need the international community to tell them that their leaders have the right to inflict more bombings, more pain, more suffering. They need the international community to say stop, to say release the hostages, to say stop the bombings, the siege, the slaughter. They need the international community to tell Israel to stop the blockade, stop the apartheid, stop the annexation, to stop the genocide. And they need countries, Taoiseach, to lead the way. And Ireland should be one of those countries that leads the way. We know colonialism. We know oppression. We know conflict. But we also know conflict resolution. We know peace building. We know nation building. And because of what we know, what our history has taught us, our call tonight must be clear. Immediate, full and unequivocal ceasefires and a decisive international intervention that leads to negotiations and to a lasting and just peace settlement. And to at long last, to a free, sovereign and independent Palestine. Cancora, let us be very clear. Hamas breached international law on the 7th of October. Hamas targeted innocent civilians in the most callous and inhumane manner, and their actions have been rightly condemned by right-thinking people across the world. But we should also be very clear. Israel has breached international law, not just on every day since October the 7th, but virtually every single day for decades. Israel occupies Palestinian land against international law. Israel blockades Palestinian territory against international law. Israel builds and expands illegal settlements against international law. Israel enforces an apartheid system that restricts the movements of Palestinians and denies their fundamental rights against international law. And Israel regularly and systematically attacks and kills Palestinian civilians against international law. So the question that must be answered by all of us in political life is this. The right to defend itself as...
Oh. to freeze the cold. You have